Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
This is the Financial Flight Plan podcast. I'm Walter Storholt, joined this week by Tim Estes, investor coach and certified financial planner at Estes Financial Services, serving you throughout the Metroplex with an office in Fort Worth. You can go online and find us at estesfinancial.net. Again, that's estesfinancial.net. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. If you want to reach out to Tim and the team, you can call the office at 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. Today's podcast is all about emotions and retirement planning and some of the stories that might lie behind some of these emotions, where Tim sees these emotions kind of rearing their head as people come into the office preparing for their financial future. You mentioned on a previous podcast when we dabbled in this topic a little bit, Tim, fear and greed being obviously two of the main driving forces but behind emotional decision-making and behind what kind of motivates our decisions. What about greed and fear are your major takeaways, and where have you seen those wreak havoc in a plan or cause people consternation before?
Well, on the greed part, I've seen people that they chase the returns. They're looking for the next home run. Instead of having a diversified, prudent portfolio, they're looking for that one single stock or that one single investment that will take them to the riches that they so badly want. And fear, I've seen fear really play a role. I had a client back during the 2008 downturn, and I kept talking with him and saying, it's going to turn around, it'll turn around. And of course it did in March of 2009. But unfortunately, right around March of 2009, he sold everything in his 401k, went to cash. And I called him, checking in with him, I guess, about 6 months later. So it was September or so of 2009. And of course, the stock market had been going on a tear almost straight up. And he was telling me, he started crying. He was crying on the phone saying, everything is lost. I'll never be able to retire. The market went down. I stuck with it, and then I bailed out at the bottom. And I'm going, oh, Tom, why did you do that? Oh, you shouldn't have done that. Get back in. He goes, I can't. I'm just too afraid it's going to go back down, and I'll lose what little bit I have. You know, my plans for retiring to Jekyll Island are gone. My plans of putting my kids through college are gone. And he's crying, and I'm just, it's ripping my heart out because his fear had him so paralyzed that he didn't get back into the market. And essentially, you know, the market bottomed down around 7,000, and where are we now with the Dow? Dow's up there around 20,000. If he had just listened to me and kept his fear out of it, he would have been fine. I lost touch with him. He basically stopped returning phone calls because his fear got so much a hold of him that he was paralyzed to do anything.
Man, that's the kind of story that gives you chills. It's unfortunate, and hopefully we can learn from that. But unfortunate that sometimes people have fear and greed play so much of an element in their life that it's going to lead to decisions like that. And that's a really unfortunate situation. What about the emotion of surprise? When have you seen surprise enter into the equation in retirement planning?
I see surprise when people come in and they've lost a lot of money and they're saying, well, I thought I was in a conservative portfolio. And I start an MRI or doing an in-depth analysis of where they have their investments, and they're usually way too risky for where they are in their position in life. And they've either a concentrated position or too much risk for the age that they are, and they get surprised because, well, I thought I was diversified. I had 15 different mutual funds. Yeah, but they were all doing the same thing. And so a lot of surprise happens that way.
Yeah, surprise usually isn't something we want as something involved in our financial plan. We like things to be predictable at that point in time, no doubt about it. What about hope? I know hope is not a strategy, but is there any room for hope in a financial plan?
Not really. Where I see hope is people are hoping that they win the lottery, or they're hoping that they'll pass away before they need to go to live with their kids. You know, I love my children dearly, but I sure as heck don't want to live with them in old age. So, they're hoping that something will come along to help fix the situation. And that's not really a prudent financial planning tool to rely on hope.
We all have some element of pride, Tim. Have you ever seen somebody try to do everything on their own? They didn't want to really ask for help because of, a simple issue of pride?
I see that all the time. I've had a lady call in, just last week. She called in and says, my husband thinks he can do it all. We're trying to get answers on whether he can retire or not. And he says, everything will be fine, everything will be fine. And his pride is such that, I'm the man of the family and this is the way it is. I'll take care of you, little woman. And it's really getting in the way of asking for help. I mean, you don't do your own brain surgery. You don't do your own drilling of teeth. Why wouldn't you have someone that can help you analyze your retirement and what you have going to make sure that you're doing the right things and that you're heading in the right direction? And that's where pride comes in. And unfortunately, pride goeth before the fall. And it holds true, especially in people taking care of their own financial situation.
And that's not to be a knock on somebody who might consider themselves a do-it-yourselfer, right? I mean, pride often is probably uncovered with folks who are trying to do everything on their own. But that's not to say that if you are trying to be independent and involved in the process and, you want to skew toward that do-it-yourself approach, it doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily be guilty of pride, but it would be something that you'd really want to be careful of.
Oh, absolutely. If you can take the time, say, for example, you're retired and you just love doing the research and you love studying everything that is related to your financial life, and you have a good knowledge of how to build a prudent portfolio, yeah, you can do it yourself. I don't know about you, but when I retire, I don't want to be thinking about that. I want to be thinking about my golf game. I want to be thinking about going fishing. I want to be thinking about going to Paris and see the Champs-Élysées. I don't want to be thinking about my portfolio. So that's where someone like Estes Financial Services, we can help you manage that. And you don't have to worry about it. That's where, you can leave your cares behind and go have fun and enjoy your retirement.
Well, tell me, Tim, about guilt. Have you seen somebody walk through the office that had guilt impact some of their financial decisions?
And that's a good follow-on to the pride. They had pride in, I can do it, I can do it. And then they get into retirement and all of a sudden they have screwed up and now they feel guilty because they realize that they're in a world of hurt. One interesting case that comes to mind was we did a workshop and this doctor, he was a surgeon. He came to our workshop and said, this might be great for my daughter. In fact, I want her to come and see you, but I'm a sophisticated investor and I know what I'm doing. And, I said, well, okay, that's fine. And so his daughter became a client. Well, let's fast forward about 5 years and she comes into the office. The daughter comes in the office and says, will you talk with my dad? And I go, sure, I have no problem with that. We'll sit and talk. Well, he comes in and he had initially 5 years earlier, he had around $3 million. Well, he had been investing it and doing it all himself. And he walked in and he looked like he was a beaten man.
Oh, no.
And what was worse, he was in the beginning stages of Parkinson, so he could no longer be a surgeon. He had dwindled down his entire life savings to $750,000 from $3 million, and he was out of a job. And so the guilt of what he had done was really weighing on him, and you could see it in his face, and he realized that his golden years were not going to be quite so golden because of what he had done.
Wow, amazing story, and a good example of where guilt enters the equation. You don't want guilt in your financial plan and in retirement, certainly. Two more emotions before we wrap up this podcast that I want to get your thoughts on. I'll throw them both at you at the same time, Tim, since they go together as well, or at least they're both on opposite ends of the spectrum. A time of sadness, when you've seen that enter into the emotional stages of financial and retirement planning, and then also, of course, where you've seen people experience joy in the planning process.
Well, I guess the sadness would come in where, I guess you would tie it in with loyalty. Where I saw it in particular was this fella came into my office, let's call him Joe. Joe came into the office and his dad had worked for a company for 40 years and he had always bought company stock. So there was a huge holding of this company stock. And so Joe came into the office and I kept telling Joe, we need to diversify. We need to diversify. And he was still grieving over the loss of his father. But he said, I can't do this. I cannot sell the stock because it would be disloyal to my father. He worked his whole life at this company. And I'm going, but Joe, you need to diversify. You need to not have all your eggs in this one basket of this one stock. And so he was sad about having to possibly sell, and he was sad over the loss of his father. And we eventually got him to diversify some, but it was not near as much as he should have. And of course, there was a downturn in the company stock, and the value dropped, close to 40%. And then he said, well, I guess we need to sell a little bit more. And I'm going, okay, we can go ahead and do that, but you understand that it's down 40% from where it was. And he, of course, that led to the sadness. As far as the joy, I see joy when I meet with my clients that are enjoying their retirement. We like to think that we do a very good job for our clients, and I see the joy when they're talking about visiting the grandkids, or I've got one client that loves to play golf. And he's in Hilton Head right now playing golf. And so I see joy in my clients when they realize that, as I've talked about in previous podcasts, the sleep factor has kicked in. They know that they can go to sleep at night knowing that Tim Estes and Estes Financial Services is taking care of their portfolio and that they have a good plan and that it's in place and it's going to hold them in good stead for the rest of their life. You know, so I do see joy, and that's why one of the reasons I got into this business was I saw too many people being taken advantage of and not having good financial advice, and that's why I got into it. And we'll cover that story at another time, but basically my parents were taken advantage of, and it was financially devastating for them. So if I can help somebody achieve their retirement to see the joy and the satisfaction in their eyes, it's very fulfilling for me.
Sometimes it also comes down to knowing yourself. Do you know that you have a tendency to being a little greedy? And we're not saying that that's something to be ashamed of. Some of us like the finer things in life, and we know that our spending habits can, you know, maybe exceed what they should be at times, and we might have a tendency to live beyond their means. That happens. If you're a prideful person, you know that. If you tend to rely on hope a lot, you know that. We all know that we have certain tendencies, and what the benefit of working with a certified financial planner, an investor coach, will be to rein in some of those extremes that we might have in our personalities that might lead us to making bad financial decisions. Have that impartial third party there to help you along the way. If you need that on your side and you don't already have it and aren't already working with the team at Estes Financial Services, I'll just invite you to simply call and say, hey, I'd like to set up a time to meet and review where I am, talk to you about my goals and wants and dreams as I approach retirement. 817-444-8402 is the number. That's 817-444-8402. 8402, and you can find out all about the team online by going to estesfinancial.net. That's estesfinancial.net, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can also hear past podcasts and where we'll post future ones, of course, on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's podcast, talking about the emotions of life and how they mix with our retirement plans. On next week's podcast, we're going to talk about some of the mistakes we see people make when it comes to naming beneficiaries. That'll be our next topic, right here on the Financial Flight Plan Podcast.
Securities offered through Triad Advisors, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Estes Financial Services, Inc., which is not affiliated with Triad Advisors.